Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rieter Media and Analyst Conference Call. I am Moira, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Dr. Norbert Klapper. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Thank you very much for being with us this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to take you through Rieter's 2018 sales and orders, along with some preliminary information on EBIT margin, net result, and net liquidity. In addition, we have communicated this morning our new CFO, the successor of Joris Gröflin. Let me jump to page 3, order intake. And let me share some insights with you on the order intake. In Q4, the market demand for new equipment was at very low levels, driven by the situation in Asia and in Turkey, which you are familiar with. It is the textile cycle. While we kept our market share, the low demand led to an order intake of 120 million only. It's too early to say what the impact on 2019 will be, but it's clear that the Q4 order intake will have an impact on 2019. So we are working on capacity adjustments and cost reductions along the lines of what we call cycle management. Rieter has a lot of experience in cycle management, so we know what we have to do. At the same time, strategy implementation will continue, focused at our ongoing innovation program. The next important milestone is ITMA Barcelona in June. Let's move on to sales, page 4. We had a strong second semester, as you can see from the numbers, with an improved profitability compared to half year one. We also generated a strong cash flow. So are we back?
Yes.
All right. How can we see where we lost our audience?
So this is the operator. We lost your audio about 1 minute ago.
Okay, so I will just do it again. I'm back on page 3, order intake, and I'll repeat what I said about it, the insights on order intake. In Q4, the market demand for new equipment was at very low levels, driven by the situation in Asia and in Turkey. It is the textile cycle. While we kept our market share, the low demand led to an order intake of only 120 million Swiss francs. It's too early to say, obviously, what the impact on 2019 will be. At the same time, it's clear that the order intake in Q4 will have an impact on 2019. So, as a consequence, we are working on capacity adjustments and cost reductions along the lines of what we call cycle management in Rieter. Rieter has a lot of experience in cycle management, so we know what we have to do. At the same time, strategy implementation will move on, focused on our ongoing innovation program. The next milestone is ITMA Barcelona in June. I am moving on to page 4 now, sales by business groups. I said already we had a strong second semester. Improved profitability went along with it compared to half year one, and we generated a strong cash flow, which led to an improved net liquidity, which moved up from 130 million, what we had by the end of 2017, to 150 million. Going to page 5, slide 5 illustrates where the sales growth in 18 came from. We see that the biggest impact came from the machines and systems business, which contributed with 83.5 million to the growth number. And the second biggest impact was the acquisition of SSM, which contributed 34.9 million. I'm moving on to page 6, which gives you some insights on the sales development by region. We see in the numbers the dominance of the Asian countries outside China, India, and Turkey last year. Uzbekistan stands out here with sales of 144 million. In Uzbekistan, we mainly sold conventional ring spinning systems with which had an impact on the margin, as we already discussed last year. I am moving on to slide number 7, the introduction of Kurt Ledermann, the new CFO of the Rita Group. He will join us on June 1st, and I guess many of you know him. He will be the successor of Joris Gröflin. I'd like to close with slide 8, which gives you the outlook on the profits that we expect from 2018. EBIT margin around 4%, net profit around 3%, and the details on the EBIT and on the net profit development, along with the full financial statements for 2018 and the annual report, will be published on March 13. And we will talk about the details then. And as you are already aware of, the annual general meeting will be held on April 4. So far, the presentation, so far, the comments to what we have published this morning. We are open for questions now.
The first question is from Pascal Fugger from Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. First question on machining, so very weak order intake. Of the 3Q results, you mentioned that the project pipeline, however, is still in good shape. Has this substantially cooled down in the course of the last 3 months? How confident are you that you will reach break-even even in 2019? Second question with regards to cost savings. So you mentioned this is, you call it cycle management. So this is no third cost savings program after Ingolstadt. Is this correct? So that's just the measures you have taken in other cycles. And how confident are you in this regard about your 10% EBIT margin?
Thank you very much for your questions, Pascal. The project pipeline. The project pipeline did not materialize the way we thought a couple of months ago. There is still a pipeline, and we are still working with our customers on projects. However, what we see is that our customers are holding back investments due to the situation that we already discussed a couple of times. Your question on break-even 19, well, it's way too early to say what the impact on 19 is going to be. So we will give an outlook in March. At the moment, it's too early to speculate on what is will be happening in 19. Cost savings, yeah, I mean cycle management in Rita starts with the Kostenbremse, yeah, to curb costs. This is what we do first. Then we make use of the flexibility that we have in our business setup, and the flexibility in our setup is high. For obvious reasons, so that is what we're going to do now, and it's too early to say whether additional things will be needed. And based on what we discussed this morning, what we published this morning, our priority at the moment is not to think about our midterm targets. Our priority is to manage the cycle and at the same time continue to implement our strategy.
Just a small follow-up, and how confident are you to reach break-even in 18 in machining?
I can't follow your question. In 18?
Publish the, this is Joris Gröflin. I think we're going to publish the detailed segment results on March 13, so we ask you to wait for that specific information till March 13. But certainly also the Machines and Systems Business Group has improved the profitability in the second semester of 18. Otherwise, the result of 4% EBIT ratio would not have been possible. So we have seen an improvement in the Business Group Machines and Systems in the second semester.
Perfect. Thank you.
The next question is from Alessandro Foletti from Octavian. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two questions. You mentioned that in Q4, the order intake weakness was due to Asia and Turkey. Can you maybe give a little bit more information on the different dynamics, what you're seeing there, maybe also commenting on India and the other Asian countries, which in terms of sales were strong? I see Uzbekistan was very strong. What do you see in the other countries? That's the first question. And the second question, again, in the main markets, how are the fundamentals? So I'm thinking about credit availability and input-output cost of your clients. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The situation in the different markets. The situation in Asia is dominated or is dominated by what's going on in China. China has the biggest textile industry by far compared to all the other countries, and there is strong ties between Southeast Asian countries, China, India, and China. And so the situation in China is what is of paramount importance here. And Chinese customers and the Chinese textile industry is holding back investments based on the trade war that is going on. And the market is in a waiting position. I'd call it a waiting position. There is projects, there is customers who are discussing new projects, but at the present moment in time, everybody is waiting for the outcome of the trade war discussions. In Turkey, we have a different situation. It has basically nothing to do with the situation in China, but the situation in Turkey is widely known to you. India has also strong ties to the Chinese textile industry, so there is an impact in India from what's going on in China as well. At the same point in time, in India, we have elections this year, which means that there is also a kind of a waiting mode of our Indian customers based on the political situation.
Can I insert a quick add-on to understand? You speak about these ties between China and the other countries, but if the trade war is the main driver, I don't understand why the countries around China shouldn't, so to speak, take advantage of the opportunity and invest more because of the trade war. Because the trade war is, as far as I understand, is more related to China than the rest of the countries. So what do I miss? I don't understand in this.
Yeah, I mean, number one, there is big Chinese groups who are investing in countries outside China, and they are, of course, impacted by the situation in China itself. And at the same point in time, everybody is waiting for the outcome in Asia of the trade war. It is so important to everybody, so that there is... if the trade war goes in a certain direction, the textile value chains have to be restructured in a big way, and everybody knows that, but nobody knows whether it goes in this direction. That is the reason.
All right, thank you. I had a second question on credit and the input-output costs.
I didn't get this question.
Well, what are the fundamentals? I'm talking about China, Turkey as well. How is the credit availability? I remember in Q3 you said that in Turkey, credit availability was really very, very bad. You made an example of clients that received offers with 14 or 15% interest rates. So I was wondering if there is any relief on this side on the credit, and if, you know, cotton price and yarn prices are moving in a way your clients have better margins or not.
We can't see the margins of our customers improving at the moment. Raw material, energy, inflation rates in the countries in question, and also the interest rates.
Okay. What has changed? In the past, you used to make comments. How come you don't have this visibility anymore?
No, the visibility, and I guess that is maybe a very good summary of what's going on at the moment. The visibility is very low.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Reto Amstalden from Baader Helvea. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. From my side, two, three questions. First, on your order intake in the fourth quarter in machine and systems, very low. When we compare this to the previous quarter's average level of around 140 to 150 million, can we have here some indication? I think the current level in the fourth quarter was clearly very low, I would say, a replacement demand level. Out of this broad installed base, big installed base globally, can you give here an indication? Is that an unfair assumption? And a replacement demand should rather lead to about, let's say, 150 million order intake per quarter for your machine and systems. Is it still an valid reference? So this would rather indicate at some point in time there should be a catch up. Clearly, again, from this very low level we have seen in the fourth quarter, and then have two or three other things.
I mean, I have no reason to believe that the fundamentals have changed. So the normal market levels and normal retail market shares would still lead us to an order intake and to a sales number of 150 million on a quarterly basis. I don't see that the fundamentals have changed. What I see is that we are at the bottom of the cycle.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Then a question regarding Turkey. When we look at the sales level in fiscal year 18, about 155 million, that's significantly up to 17. What is here the main driver by product groups? Is this related to the new compact spinning systems you introduced in early 18 in Turkey?
Yes, you're absolutely right. This is the new compacting and ring spinning machines which have been launched last year, and the majority of it went into Turkey, and this is where the sales number is coming from.
Okay, thank you. And then last question on your net cash position, about 150 million at the end of 18. Does this include the contribution from the sale of the real estate at Ingolstadt, or is this coming in?
Rachel, are you still with us?
We can hear you, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still online. Yeah.
Sorry, we lost you. You had a question on our net cash position.
Yes, exactly. At the end of 18, about 150 million. Does this include already the contribution from the property sale in Ingolstadt?
It includes, let me say, a modest down payment. Related to the, or in comparison to the total amount which is in question, it's a modest down payment.
Okay, the bigger part should come in 2019 then, right?
That is the plan.
Yeah, okay. And regarding, yeah, it's a bit early in the year, but regarding your working capital development this year, should this also lead to some contributions or a release of working capital in 19? Should here lead to an positive contribution? Or how do you see this at this stage of the cycle?
I guess it's too early to tell, Reto. It depends on where the order intake is going, how much inventory we have to buy in order to be able to produce what's coming in, and on the down payment situation. It's too early to say in what direction 2019 will be going.
I think if I may add this, we had quite a strong improvement of our net working capital at year end 2018, which also led to the positive development of net cash. And I think so that gives certainly a base to work from in 2019.
Okay, thank you. And the very last question regarding your, I think, very strong cash position and the very high level. How do you see the dividend policy or dividend payment developing? Yeah, on the back of now clearly and a rather weak start to this year and lower cycle level, but still should be able to afford well the same dividend you paid for fiscal year 17. How do you see that?
I mean, you are all familiar with the process, right? The dividend will be decided by the annual general meeting. At the same point, you know our position has always been and will always be that an attractive dividend is important to us.
Thank you.
Also in bad times.
Yeah, thank you.
The next question is from Armin Rechberger from ZKB. Please go ahead.
Hello, I have just two questions. First of all, the order intake was very low. When did it drop? Just in December or all 3 months of the last quarter? And how developed January now? I mean, do you see some improvements, mainly in China, or is it still that low? And then the other question is regarding the product mix. You mentioned conventional ring spinning jobs from Uzbekistan. I wonder if they came in Q4 or already in Q1 to Q3 as well. Was that for the whole year? And the same regarding Turkey. You also mentioned that this new compact spinning machine. The reason behind it is, as I understand, for the ring spinning, especially the conventional one to Uzbekistan, the margins are very long. So what to expect from the product mix for the next few Qs in 2019, I mean?
Order intake in the fourth quarter was low across all 3 months. Yeah. We cannot say we can. It was at low levels all through the quarter. January is too early to say. January is even not over yet, so our guys are still working on the order intake. What I can say is that the market has not. We will not see a boom. That is what I can say. Conventional ring spinning in the whole year. The conventional ring spinning in Uzbekistan was part of our business all in the first half year and in the second half year as well, while the compact spinning focus in Turkey was in the second half of the year in terms of sales realization.
And the margins in compact spinning, are they higher than in conventional ring spinning, I suppose?
They are.
Are they for the compact spinning, are they above average, the margins?
They are higher than in ring spinning.
Okay. And just to try to get out a little bit more from your January answer, you say you see no boom. I mean, then that points to the direction that you see an improvement, but not a boom.
I don't see a boom.
But an improvement.
I don't see a boom.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Fabian Haecki from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe just a follow-up on the regions also when you release. So to understand right, it was actually a downturn in Q4, very synchronous across all markets in Asia, or was there any market or any country that proved a bit kind of more stable or bucked the trend? That was my first question.
I think if we look at the market development in the Q4, we saw at the end a synchronous alignment of the markets, which were then rapidly holding back the project executions that were planned. So yes, you're right. We've seen it across all regions. That's what was also why we described it, and that's also why we came to the conclusion that this is now a cyclical behavior of the market, and it's not a regional difference from market to market. That's also the current momentum that we see.
Okay, thank you. And then on China, I mean, in the last 3 years, there was a lot of discussions, you know, about this spindle program in Western China. It was a big spending program, which has now ended. Could this also be a reason? I mean, is this also a bit something that is not helping? No bigger government funded program out there. Also, lots of investments being done. The long wait for the next wave. How do you see this factor in the context?
Well, the situation in China is driven by a couple of things, yeah? So the fact that there is no additional subsidies into new spinning mills is certainly one important point. The second issue is the costs, the factor costs in China went up over the last couple of years, in particular labor costs. This has also an impact on the situation of the industry, and the trade war comes on top of it, along with the financing challenges that Chinese companies are facing, and you are very familiar with the situation. Yeah.
And then a question on the components decline in Q4 that was also double digit. Can you give a bit a flavor on, was it driven by SSM or also equally by the components businesses?
I think when we look into the components business, we can differentiate mainly between two business segments. The one is all the wear and tear parts that are directly driven from demand of the spinning mills, so when the spinning mills are running well, and more the investment kind of goods, so the capital goods. And we've seen across the units that the capital goods were also holding back at year end, but the wear and tear parts, which are basically pointing out to the running of the spinning mills, were holding up.
Okay. So that means SSM was strong, down strong. Yeah. Okay.
I think SSM also has two elements. They also have wear and tear parts. They also have investment grade goods. So as with also the other units, they were typically also in the same momentum. I mean, there's a difference between selling machines and wear and tear parts. And I think it doesn't matter which unit, but I think we've basically seen a reluctance of our customers to invest into new kind of capital goods investments across all units.
Okay. Then a last one on, I mean, there was a lot of discussions about the non-core real estate disposal and the hidden value, and that now Ingolstadt being sold and the 60 million one-off, which should result obviously in a significant cash inflow. But going forward, what do you think kind of CapEx and capital requirement you need to build this relatively large-scale campus in Winterthur? So, I mean, there's always obviously two sides of the balance sheet and maybe a bit more discussing on the other side. I mean, how much of that inflow from Ingolstadt do you think will be used for the campus? Probably construction start, I don't know, maybe rather in 2020, but it looks like it will be a big sum.
But it's too early to talk about this. We are in the middle of our planning work, and we anticipate to make decisions, as we said, later this year. So as soon as we have reached this step, we will certainly talk about it. But today we are not in the position to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Noe Waldman from Ringer. Please go ahead.
Good day, sirs. Thank you very much for your time. My questions would be about the cost-saving measures, what specifically will be done, and what the effect... will there be any effect on the facilities? Will there be closings or will you hibernate some facilities? Will jobs be made redundant or moved? Or do you plan to change working times, especially as concerns to Switzerland?
As I said, we apply what we call cycle management. Rita is in a situation like the one we have at the moment has been in this situation a couple of times. It is part of our life, the textile cycle. So the first step is to curb cost, die Kostenbremse, take everything out which is not needed, the nice-to-haves will be stopped, a hiring freeze has been implemented, so this is already in execution, as well as making use of the flexibility we have in our system, working hours, vacation time, and so forth and so forth. And we will see whether additional measures are needed. That depends on how the year goes on.
But nothing is planned in that regard in a fixed way?
No. You mean okay. A firm decision? No.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
The next question is from Sylvain Berchard from Reichmuth. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. I mean, just shortly on the after-sales business, in the statement this morning you highlighted that it came down a bit, mainly because the services you did together with the new machinery sold. But if you strip this out, I mean, in general, the plan was always to gain market share in the service segment. If you could elaborate a bit going forward, how this is playing out in general, if you see some progress on the service side or not?
We see the progress. At the same point in time, 2018 was heavily impacted by, from an order intake point of view, by the installation for new machines, which was missing. And on the sales side, a big impact came from the projects, improvement projects and refurbishments, upgrades of machines and lines and spinning mills. This is a project business, and our customers were reluctant in financing these projects.
But is it fair to assume going forward, if the new business is doing weakly, that you will likely see more kind of these upgrading projects?
The financial situation, it depends on the financial situation and the priorities that our customers will set.
Okay, but I think they have to do some kind of maintenance.
The first thing they have to do is they have to run their mills. This means the wear and tear parts and the spare parts that you need to keep your mill running, they should be okay. And they are okay, as far as we can say, based on Rieter's business. What comes on top is a matter of priorities for the customer.
Okay, understood.
The next question is from Christian Arnold from MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I have a question on Uzbekistan. Here you mentioned that you had very strong sales of 144 million. I wonder if you could give us the number from last year, so how much you were actually growing in Uzbekistan, and also what you expect for 2019. Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Arnold. This is Joris Gröfling. Yes, we had a very strong year in Uzbekistan, so we had more than 10% of sales compared to turnover, so we are obliged to also detail the information. I think we had a significant growth compared to last year's figures. Now, of course, Uzbekistan also has order intake and is part of the order intake volume that we've seen in 2018. So I would not expect that at this point of the stage that we see this in the order backlog, that this can happen again in 2019, what we've seen in 2018. Uzbekistan is a very important market for us. And we have
You just mentioned the 10%, but that's not the growth of Uzbekistan, right? I mean, it must
It's more than that, the share in sales. So then,
exactly.
Of course, we publish it. But otherwise, we're not giving specific details on singular countries which are not in the regions, if they're not surpassing 10% of our turnover. And last year, they did not surpass 10%. So we had quite a good growth.
Okay. But it's a fair assumption that it was growing above the 35% of the Asian countries, right?
Yes, I would. Yes, it's a fair assumption.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up question from Alessandro Foletti from Octavian. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my follow-up. regarding the ITMA fair that you mentioned, I was wondering if you already saw maybe some effect. In the past, there has been often effects of customer waiting ahead of the ITMA to see what kind of innovations you're bringing and then buying maybe at the fair or afterwards. Did you see already something, or is it not going to happen anymore?
Well, it's hard to tell why they are waiting, but this has certainly an influence on customers' behavior and investment sentiment. We know it from the past. We are only 5 months away from ITMA, so it certainly has an impact on what we see.
Okay, thanks.
That was the last question.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for having joined us this morning. We will, as I said, we will publish our full financial statements on March 13, and I hope to see most or all of you when we have our press conference here in Winterthur. Thank you very much. Have a good remainder of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.